Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN on this Thursday morning in the Little Apple. Here with retired Lieutenant General Perry Wiggins, the Executive Director of the Governor's Military Council and former 1st Infantry Division Commanding General. And Dave, was that call for us? I guess we're getting a lot of calls now. But we'll go ahead and continue. Is this call for us? Okay, we'll go ahead and just take this right out of the gate. Caller, you're on In Focus. Go ahead.
Well, we've always heard about the wonderful things you've been able to do, like, for instance, getting the FAA to give us flight pattern over the Smoky Hill Range across the lake, and those wonderful things you've been able to do with all of your experience and training. We've got a problem with the gun range for the sheriff over there on base. Now, what magic you could work to work out between the Kansas regulations and what a sheriff's gun range ought to be and what usage we could make so we don't have to go out and buy another gun range. Thank you so much for your efforts.
No, appreciate it. Yeah, what we're working about, what you're talking about specifically is, you know, the Army and Department of Defense has kind of opened up a larger window on public-private partnerships. We call it P4, where we develop memorandums of agreement, dual use with our military installations in our communities. So, you know, I know that Manhattan specifically and the Manhattan Police Department and Riley County Police Department here has worked a memorandum of agreement and co-use of range out at Fort Riley, so they don't have to build a range. And so it's sort of a common use. It's a win-win situation. And, you know, facilities and organizations like the Sheriff's Department, I'm sure that there's probably a capability for them to enter into a discussion with Fort Riley as well on looking at partnerships as well, if it would meet that need.
Well, it's been an interesting thing and reminder for folks that Riley County doesn't have a sheriff. We have a director,
right?
A director, Brad Schoen, and Riley County's actually pulled out of that memorandum recently.
Yeah.
So, 'cause they're having there's some obstacles there with kind of what poor Riley needs to do as far as basically kind of they can kind of go out of the agreement kind of any time. There's a lot of things that they're still kind of working out, all that kind of still
I'll tell
happening.
You, it's, you know, there's, it is always complex, always challenging, but it's something that we ought to continually keep and strive toward and work for a solution set, because the bottom line is what's good for the community is good for the post and vice versa. And so we're kind of umbilically connected in the process, and we ought to continue to keep pushing the envelope to see how we can expand these particular mutual agreements as we go forward. So, you know, I was unaware that they'd basically fallen out of that. I knew that they were working a mutual aid agreement and kind of a common use of a range out there. But, you know, there are a number of initiatives that the Department of Defense, and specifically our Secretary of Defense, is very, very eager to open up and expand on those partnerships with our communities.
Let's move on to some other topics that you mentioned you wanted to get to, because there are a lot of different things going on, especially when it comes to the U.S.-Mexico border with the National Guard and some of those things. You also mentioned some news stories going on right now, some headlines about Syria and maybe a pullout there. I guess just kind of give us a little around the nation, around the world with Perry Wiggins here.
Well, you know, I watch the news and you hear it go up and down. The sine wave is pretty erratic. When the president talked about putting National Guard formations on the border, it's not something that's new. You know, it's been done at the federal level and it's been done at the state level recently. For example, we've done National Guard members on the border, our southwest border in the past. We used a National Guard from the southwest border states. They provided up to like 1,200 soldiers from each one of the border states.
Well, that was probably within about, five, 6 years ago, something like that?
It was about, you know, wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, in the Obama administration.
Right. And the difference is we have done that. They don't, posse comitatus, they won't do policing functions, but they will observe. They'll basically be gathering intelligence. They can provide that to the Customs and Border Patrol. They can provide that to ICE and the Sheriff's Department, local law enforcement agencies. And they're the ones that actually make those sort of arrests, not the military members. The problem we have with that is there is a cost associated with that. And we found out when Governor Perry in the state of Texas, on his own initiative, pushed National Guardsmen down to his border on the state of Texas, and did that for several days. But the cost was extremely high, because you have to pay for those full-time National Guardsmen. So there's a balance there as we go forward our security of our southwest border. But, you know, I'm sure that, you know, once again, a lot of people concerned about laws, but the military members understand what that national response framework is. They understand posse comitatus, and so they'll get it adjusted properly, and they'll figure out the right balance.
If somebody to ask you exactly what is the reason for such an emergency response, I guess, in the way this is taking place as far as National Guard to the border, I know that from the administration, it's drug trafficking is always kind of the reason that's mentioned. But when we talk about drug problems in the country, we're talking about opiates, and opiates is more of a domestic issue that's really based off prescriptions rather than any sort of illegal drugs over the border situation. I guess what's your take there?
Well, I mean, you're correct. I mean, opioids is a different animal in and of itself, but opioids do come from the South as well. Opioids are probably one of our most pressing issues, but the big problem as well is not just transnational criminal organizations pushing drugs from South to North. There's also a problem with human trafficking. You know, when you have, for example, a few years back, you remember the 61,000 youth that were coming in on the two trains from Central America, and they were arriving, and we set up facilities along the southwest border that received these children. You know, that is a human tragedy, and it's something that if you're not prepared for, can create really a humanitarian problem of really a high degree that we don't really need to do. So it's something we got to take care of.
And just real quick, we got about 4 minutes left in the program. If you want to go over Syria a little real quick in 4 minutes, let's solve Syria in 4 minutes.
I mean, one of the big questions I get asked is, you know, if we pull the troops out of Syria, you know, what's the issue? You know, a lot of people can project or predict what they think is going to happen within Syria, but one of the things that's happened historically is when you pull out U.S. troops, and we have done it in the past, creates a vacuum. Who's going to fill that vacuum? And right now you've got Iran, who seems to be a very big player in that region. And so you have to be careful about what you do. That's how basically ISIS was formed, was when we pulled out of Iraq too soon, and of course out of Al-Qaeda stemmed this extreme branch called ISIS. And so there is some temper action with wisdom as you go forward. And the American flag means something when it's standing on soil, foreign soil. It resonates like none other in this world. The American soldier is the best in this world. I don't care what the Russians say, Chinese say, or Koreans say. When an American soldier plants his feet on soil, people take notice. And so that's something we got to take into consideration.
And what is the leanings out of the administration right now to pull out of Syria? Is that?
Oh, I think, you know, it's you never know. I mean, the president mentioned it, I think, on the news release, and that's what got everybody excited was, you know, we need to get out of Syria, and we need to get out of Syria fast. You know, I don't put a whole lot of stock in a lot of the stuff that gets tweeted or bleated and those sort of things, because you got to go back and talk to your people that surround you, and you got to get wise counsel, and then you make an informed decision as you go forward. I just think that, you know, now this gives the Department of Defense and the Secretary of Defense and his chiefs an opportunity to sit down and really talk about the way forward with Syria, which is something we should do, considering that, you know, ISIS is down to 1% left in that nation. I mean, we pretty much pounded them, but it doesn't take long. You know, you leave one ember alive in a fire, and you walk away, it's got a chance to flame back up. And Kansans know that because, you know, there's prairie fires. That's how long
right?
it started.
Very yeah. true. So basically, foreign policy and Twitter, not a good mix.
No.
Sometimes.
No, I don't think so.
it's pretty safe to say. We got maybe about 90 seconds left. Anything else you wanted to mention real quick?
No, you know, I appreciate the people in the community. They're approaching. You know, we're talking about force structure. We're talking about additional missions at Fort Riley, and all those are important. You know, I go back to saying that, you know, about 45% of our economy is dependent on really Department of Defense here in the Central Flint Hills. And so any time we can increase is important. And I think to those people that run businesses here, have real estate, property, those sort of things, we got to really push hard. So I appreciate them rowing. We're all rowing in the right direction, and that's important because in Boy Scouts I learned one guy rows in the opposite direction. We're going to do circles. So we all just need to keep rowing hard and pushing hard.
Very good. I think that'll sum it up.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for coming on. We'll see you next month. That was retired Lieutenant General Perry Wiggins, the Executive Director of Governor's Military Council and former 1st Infantry Division Commanding General. Miss any of today's show, go online, newsradiokman.com, click on demand. You can get caught up on this In Focus yesterday, as long as we've been archiving them. Tomorrow, Rod Harms, Mike Dotson, we'll talk about Polishy Apple. Also, some folks from Meadowlark Hills talking about Parkinson's Month, which is this April. See you tomorrow.
Next hour is Clark Howard, followed by the Rush Limbaugh Show, and then Dan Patrick. The game this afternoon begins at 4 p.m. John Kurtz, Tyler Dryling, and friends. It's 10 o'clock at K-Man. Good morning.
When it comes to shopping, there's no place like home. That's why your local Carpet One of